And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to your most favorite show in the whole wide world. It's the Athletic Fantasy Baseball Podcast. It's time for Under the Radar. And should I stop and say the award-nominated Under the Radar, or finalist for the FSWA Best Podcast in the World Award, Under the Radar. With me as always, your friend of mine, Ian Khan.
Hello, my friends.
My friend and yours, the dual nominated Derek Van Riper.
Hey, how's it going, everybody?
How are you guys doing? Congratulations. DVR, double congratulations.
Double thank you.
Good feeling.
It was pretty thrilling, man. It was very unexpected. And I started getting messages sort of like, oh, my God, congratulations. I was like, oh, my God, what? And then I think it was you, Nando, who texted. It was like FSWA. How awesome. You know, there's so many amazing podcasts out there. There are so many people who I enjoy listening to that I've guested on their shows. And for us to be in this crew of five nominations is just such a real honor. And cheers to you guys. And I actually went back. I was like, wait a minute, what episode did we send? And it literally was my favorite episode of the year, without question, my absolute favorite episode of the year. It was our 50th episode, and it was a Nando After Dark After episode. And fair enough, but you know, it was also Nando, it was also After Dark, and DVR was After Dark, and DVR was on fire. This was the episode, the Ken Giles episode, where he got really mad at Ken Giles for... in OOTP, he had just traded for him, and then he gets this email from Ken Giles and DVR. And I said at the time, I was like, you know, if we ever have to send an episode, this is the one to send. Just listening to DVR's outrage at Ken Giles, and you know, it doesn't even say thank you at the end. I mean, it's really worth listening to. It's called the 50th episode. If you want to go back, it's sort of oddly set up because I think on the feed it's the 47th because we ended up lining up with the other Athletic Fantasy Baseball, which also is nominated. I mean, Michael Beller is also nominated. And so, you know, it's just really great. And, you know, it was fun to listen to. I made my wife listen to it with me.
Let's get to the information.
Sorry.
And fun. Are you guys okay with that? That cool?
Everybody okay. Good? All right. Yeah, but ask DVR just how he feels, you know?
I think the answer's torn.
Does he feel? Does he
I
feel?
Would hope it's torn.
If you're lucky enough to have two of the five finalists, you could still not win.
Oh, could you imagine if DVR split our boat and ruined this for both of us, Ian?
It's definitely possible. I mean, and also, you know, you've got the, you know, sleeper on the bus, my boys over there, Justin Mason, Paul Spohr, Jason Collette, and the Yahoo Fantasy Baseball Network, Fantasy Baseball Show. And then there's one more solo shot, I think, which is a DFS show. So, yes, we could easily get split. But just being nominated is really cool. It's really cool. And thank you to our listeners for keeping us going. You know, I mean, we appreciate that you appreciate us and we really appreciate you.
We made a promise many, many episodes ago that we would do a mailbag and it just kept getting pushed back because there was just so much weird stuff to talk about. So today, all mailbag all the time after this one question that I have to ask DVR. And Ian, you're in an isolation booth. Okay. Consider yourself in the like one of the password isolation booths for a minute. All right, DVR.
Gotcha. I'm in the password. I'm in that.
Here's my question.
Isolation booth.
Is Ian happy or weirdly upset about Jameson Taillon being a Yankee? Because I can't tell. I can't get a read.
I think Ian's the kind of person that would be rooting for Taillon and would be happier to have him than not. I don't think they gave up any major pieces, even though there's a couple players I like that went back to Pittsburgh in the deal. So I'm going to say Ian is for the Jameson Taillon trade.
On a scale of 1 to 10, what's his happiness?
Probably like a 6.5 or a 7.
I'm going to say he's like a 4. I think he's still got dynasty brain and he thinks Taillon, you know, you recognize he's over 30. I don't know. All right, Ian, you can step out of the isolation booth now. How do you feel about the Jameson Taillon deal?
Oh, Jameson Tyon deal. Well, I'll tell you, when I saw the rumblings of it, I started to get really excited because it's a great contract he's under. And then I started doing the math in my head, and I was like, all right, who's going the other way? I mean, is Andujar going? Because that would make an awful lot of sense. Is it Frazier straight up? Because that would make a certain amount of sense from both teams' perspective. And then when I saw what the return was as a, you know, as a dynasty player, I thought, yeah, man, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You got a 40-man roster that's a little bit swelled. You get two guys off that roster. So you can open up space for Kluber, for LeMahieu, and now for Tyon. They're going to have to make a little bit more space because they're probably going to bring Brett Gardner back. This is a win for the New York Yankees. This is a huge win for the New York Yankees.
Well, no, where are you on a scale of 1 to 10?
Oh, is that the question? I don't know. I was in a password sure. isolation booth, so I didn't hear any of that.
How did you know it was time to come back then?
Because I got a little signal. There was a little signal, a little visual signal. I would say that my level of happiness is in the 8 area. I'm pretty stoked about it. I really am. I think this is, you know, I think there was a point last year where I said time to go buy Jameson Tyon in August because he's cheaper now. It's that whole TJ surgery thing. I'm not going to trade for the guy right after he gets TJ because blah, 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 blah. But there comes a point where it's like, all right, just get him off my roster. I'm tired of looking at him broken. That's where I see Jameson Tyon. Yes, there's some pitchers in there. There's an arm in there that's very exciting, but I love it. I think it's great. I also think it keeps the salary down, which is important for the Yankees right now, which I think is also great. There's news, by the way, that Trevor Bauer, who I got into a little back and forth with Michael Salfino about on Twitter, which is never fun. I never like getting into it with Michael Salfino on Twitter. It's just, it's like, come on, Mike, we're supposed to watch Midnight Run together. But I kind of reached out to Steve Cohen. Just
get him on the phone.
Did you call him? Sort of saying, yeah. I don't think... called him. No, I tweeted at him and I sort of said something to the effect of, you know, I know you're thinking about Trevor Bauer, but I think that in 2 or 3 years, you're going to end up trading him and giving money away.
Did you tweet him from?
I actually tweeted him from the main account, not from the... I'll give you a little blue check account. I mean, you guys, you know, with the blue check, every once in a while, I'll throw a little blue check out there because then... And it's rare, but I do it from time to time because, you know, I mean, that's where my blue... You guys live with your blue check.
Oh, that was your choice. You could have had just one account.
It was. I could, but frankly, I kind of live two, you know, many different lives. But, you know, my fantasy baseball world, which is very rich and very full, there are a lot of people on the other side would be like, why are we talking about Raphael? What is a Raphael Devers? You know, so it kind of works. But in this particular time, I decided to tweet from the Blue Checkmark account. And when I did, I basically said, I think that over time, Bauer is going to be a problem in your clubhouse. I don't think you should purchase him. I don't know why I did it. And Salfino comes in 2 minutes later, just basically, you don't know what the hell you're talking about. You know, he made some point that Jacob DeGrom, he thought that I was saying that DeGrom would get mad because he was making more money than Bauer. That's not my point at all. I wasn't even thinking about that. I was just thinking that I think that Trevor Bauer is the kind of guy who doesn't get signed to long-term deals by the teams that have him. They trade him. He picks up the ball at the end of a start against the Yankees and threw it over the center field fence. And Terry Francona was like, what are you doing on the field? And Bauer's like, you know, I'm an idiot. Well, yeah, kind of. I mean, great pitcher and in talks with him right now to trade him and deal in one of my dynasty leagues with my partner, Robert Mrshak, whose birthday is today. So happy birthday, Robert Mrshak. But so that's my Trevor Bauer, Michael Salfino, Stephen Cohen story.
He had this idea, like he's just like this thinker, and his idea was, it's ironic, maybe not ironic, maybe weird that you texted that or tweeted that to Stephen Cohen, because he had this idea where his value was going to be on a bunch of 1-year contracts, and he was going to go for a ton of money to a team that was close to being a World Series champion. And I might be a little bit off here, but he was like, I'll sign a bunch of, I think he said like $40 or $50 million 1-year contracts. And he goes, it's brilliant because if you have me, we're going to win a World Series. If for whatever reason we falter, you can trade me to a team that's going to win a World Series. So I got value for you either way. Either like we're going to win or we're going to bring you back prospects on this 1-year deal. And he just wanted to like sign a series of, I think he's obviously given up on that. And I think he was just kind of talking, but I like the way the guy thinks.
He is a unique baseball player. There's no question about it. He's talking now, and he's been talking before about how he wants to pitch on 3 days rest as a regular thing. The problem is, I looked up his stats on 3 days rest. They're not so good. Like, his ERA is much higher than when he pitches on normal 4 day rest. I think he's going to be a valuable piece. I think New York and him together could end up being a Reggie Jackson situation. You could win a World Series. You also could start a lot of wars. That's the only thing. I mean, that was the only thing I was thinking about. What I said to Steve Cohen was, I was like, you buy a baseball team because you want to have a good time. Having a discontented employee is no fun. You know what I mean? It's like James Harden. What I'm visualizing, to switch sports for just half a second, is like James Harden in Houston when he's like, get me out of here, get me out of here, get me out of here. That's hard for a team, man. I could be wrong. He could end up being the best, win a World Series. Salfino's going to tweet me, you idiot. See, I was right. You were wrong. And I'm going to say, you were right. I was wrong. But that was just my instinct. And for some reason, I decided to open my
How'd you end trap. It? Did you say, let's take this to DMs?
No, kind of. No, I just was like, yeah, it's all good, man. I wish you the best. I wasn't tweeting at you. You know, he was like, yeah, I was just looking for Bauer news and you came up.
There you go.
And I said, okay, all good. It's all good. It's Salfino. I mean, Michael is brilliant.
DVR, how's the card hunt before we go to the mailbag, which we're never going to get to? Did you buy your Joe Ryans?
I have no Joe Ryans at this time.
Oh, come on, man.
I really, guys, I need that link again. What's the link to the thing?
It's ebay.com.
No. There was another. That's why we're FSWA nominated right there. This kind That's of stuff. Why. No, there was another card place that you.
Oh, Starstock.
Thank you, sir. Starstock. Yeah, here it comes. I'm going to bookmark this because I kind of like got into it. Oh, I did buy because of you. I bought a Bernie Sanders.
Oh, dude. So I got 10. I was, you know, just in case. Yeah.
I got one. I just got one. I got one. And then I got annoyed at myself because I was like, oh, I could have bought like all 9 of the cards for $54. And maybe that would have been fun to have long term. But I did get a Bernie Sanders one for my wife, Nicole, who just thinks it's so funny. And I'm sort of over it, but she thinks it's really funny. I also got her a Bernie Sanders sitting on a chair with Mittens bobblehead doll, which has not yet been created, but I reordered it.
Wow. All right. DVR, did you get any of the inauguration cards? Did you get Lady Gaga?
No, I did not go after any of the inauguration cards.
Fair. And no Joe Ryans. What have you done in this last week, man?
He was nominated for 2 awards.
I watched Matt LaFleur kick a field goal in a situation where he very clearly should have tried to score a touchdown. And
This is why DVR is in a mood. Come on, this is a baseball podcast.
I know, but I kind of am interested. I did watch the last 5 minutes. I played football growing up. I was all city first team, left tackle, middle linebacker for all city. I was all Manhattan. You're a bit of a meathead growing up.
How large were you back then?
Yeah, you were a catcher.
I mean, you're not small now, but like, did you have an extra 50 pounds on you?
No, I was literally the size I am now. I was playing in a, like, it was a private, it wasn't that deep, but I did get, you know, I did, I know the game. The point is, I know the game. I know football. So in the last 5 minutes of the Tampa Bay game, I did watch because I wanted to see. I'm not a Tom Brady fan, but I'm a Tom Brady admirer for sure. The greatest quarterback ever, no question. And I'm watching and I'm wondering, like, that was an interesting play right there. Was that just dumb? Was it just dumb? I mean, the first 3 plays, Rodgers did not look like he was going to get in. It's one of those wonky spots where you're at the 8-yard line, 9-yard line. It's hard to score from there. That's not an easy play. You know, I thought he should have run on third. I thought he should have taken off instead of that off balance throw. But it almost kind of made some kind of sense with three timeouts, and then the foolish play by the Tampa Bay Bucks of sliding with 2 minutes and 5 seconds left. Someone had to tell him to get it to the 2-minute warning to give up. At that point, I thought to myself, I was like, wow, this might actually work. So anyway, what was your thoughts, guys?
I feel like this is a baseball show and we should stick to baseball.
I don't need to relive it too much, but I had the same thought you did, Ian. I thought, oh, maybe the window is just open because the return guy gave himself up at like 2:02. And preserve that 2-minute warning.
Yeah, crazy.
Packers could stop the clock 3 times their timeouts plus the 2-minute warning. I just thought, you know, the analytics defense here was that there was a slightly greater win probability to kick the field goal in that situation. But what I wondered was if it failed to acknowledge who the Packers offense is, like what they do, what's unique to them, and if it failed to acknowledge Tampa Bay's offense. Those are two well above average offenses. So I thought it was more likely than average that the Packers could score in that situation, but I also thought it was more likely than average that the Bucs would get a first down if they got the ball back and end the game. So that, to me, has to be in the calculus, and if it's a decision with analytics on the margins, which, bringing it back to baseball, this is probably like the Blake Snell thing, just in the football form, right? The same kind of thing. If your analytics say, this is the better play by a very small margin, you still have to make a decision, and you can choose either side, and you can be wrong with the right process, and you can be right with the wrong process. So I don't know, man. I also think back, there was a story we had on The Athletic about this long window in England with soccer, football obviously as they call it there, but there was something in like mathematical strategy that the math people actually got wrong, and it shaped English football for several years the wrong way. Like it would actually set the country back in terms of tactical decisions. So I'm not saying that's necessarily what's happening here, but we do have to realize that as great as analytics are, and I love stats, sometimes you have really close decisions where you got to start factoring in other variables those numbers may not have accounted for.
Okay. Interesting stuff. And that's why he's nominated for two awards.
Exactly the reason why.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Should we hit the mailbag, or do you want to talk about some other stuff?
I love it. I'll love it. No, let's hit the mailbag. We'll talk about other stuff.
It's been 3 weeks coming. It's been like a month and a half going. Ian, why don't you take the envied task of reading these questions? We start with Omaha Joe.
Okay.
Well, if you don't want to.
I'll read the first one, and if it... No, I'll read the first one for sure, and maybe I'll read the second one, but I might go, all right, tag team. 30-team Dynasty League just completed international free agency, grabbed Arihara and some lottery tickets, since prices were more than my liking for the top 30 guys. I traded some IFA budget for draft picks, ending with 18 picks and a 10-round draft. I have 3/5, 2/6, 3/7, 2 picks in each of the rounds 8 to 10, so 7 picks in top 150 and 11 picks in top 200. What's the play? My minors is at 61 with an 80 limit, so I can make all the picks without much problem, or maybe try to package picks close to the draft in November to move up and get as high as possible with 10 picks. Trade late round picks for prospects during the season. It's my first year in this league and taking over a team that drafts 10th with an obscene amount of Twins prospects on it, which isn't bad, actually, if you think about it. Do you think, like me, it's a good year to have a lot of picks coming out of COVID-shortened draft in 2020, juniors forced back to college, etc.? If I trade to consolidate, within what area should I look to get into? If I make the picks, what type of players do I target late? My thinking is tooled up high schoolers. Also, just traded Sergio Romo out of options for Cedric Mullins, 3 options to back up Buxton. Thanks, Omaha Joe. There's the email read quickly. I guess I'll give first thought process. I'm very happy with a Sergio Romo for Cedric Mullins pick.
Oh, yeah.
Very good. It seems to me like what you want to do is use your picks. You're pretty much throwing darts past the, you know, as the rounds get later. Yeah, go for tooled up high schoolers. Maybe add some picks to... but this is, you know, this is margin stuff. This is really margin stuff. This isn't big questions. So hold until you're in a position where you can use them as trade capital. Otherwise, use the picks and hope you get lucky. That's my
point. Love this guy's point about waiting because the draft was so short. You know, the juniors going back to school and stuff. Yeah, that's...
Yeah. So it's the argument is that it'll be a deeper draft. I like that. And you're not going to get that much for rounds so late, but they could be nice little look. When you're making trades in dynasty leagues, every little bit helps. If you can add a pick that people will find appealing, do it, but don't stress. Enjoy the ride.
I wonder, and
enjoy your, hopefully it's Kirilov.
I hate to keep bringing him up every week, but I wonder if Rylan Bannon is owned in this league. And I'm just, I'm not saying it to keep bringing the guy up. I'm actually trying to gauge his value now. And I wonder, like, this is a humongous league that seems, you have 80 minor league spots.
He should be rostered in that league.
I mean, he's probably owned.
He should be rostered.
Close. He's probably, yeah. Right, yeah,
okay. I just like how you took the opportunity. He should definitely be rostered in a league like that.
Likely.
Yeah, for sure. And OOTP has this vibe, right? I mean, I kind of miss out on the fact that I feel like we missed out on an opportunity to restart OOTP in like November, December, because now we're all getting so close to fantasy baseball starting that it makes it more challenging. But I really enjoyed that. And I learned a lot about the, you know, extensive minor league systems, you know, and it's interesting.
You've kind of taken this over. You and Pialucci have taken this over. I mean, you could just send everyone an email and be like, hey.
Michael Pialucci, I do like that dude. He sent me a nice text message, I think, when we got nominated.
Oh, that was awesome.
Or some recently sent me a very nice text. Yeah.
He's a good dude.
He's a nice guy. He is.
Yeah.
Good guy. Smart guy too. Good player.
He is.
DVR, you have any quick thoughts? Anything to add?
I think the next draft class will be better for the reasons that were outlined in that email. So you do want to think about that even in less deep leagues than the one from Omaha Joe's question, right? You think about the quality of the players that might be coming up with more players that had to stay back. Cedric Mullins, who he kind of threw in there as that trade swap. Mm. I mean, for really deep leagues especially, he's a good target. I don't know if we're going to be talking about him a lot in 12-team mixed leagues this year. Maybe 15-teamers, though, he ends up being a difference maker. And he's got power. He's got speed. The Orioles outfield.
Will he get time?
The Orioles outfield, there's opportunity. But where there's opportunity, there might be chaos there.
Although they're talking about moving Santander, dude. Talking about moving Santander to Miami. That came across.
That would help Cedric Mullins.
Miami's got enough.
Yeah, but they want to replace Garrett Cooper. They want a lefty bat in that lineup is what I read.
Man, I really hope they bring the DH back this year.
I don't think they will, right?
Why? It's such a good idea.
It's
better for COVID.
It's better for everything, man. Who needs to watch pitchers hit? Sorry. I mean, for purists, God bless you, but it does raise up value. I mean, I was talking with Robert Mershak yesterday about, you know, we were thinking about TGFBI, because I am going to do TGFBI and Robert's going to do it with me. And we were talking about where we wanted to land and whether we were looking for Garrett Cole. And then all of a sudden I was like, wait a minute, does Jacob deGrom go to the top of the list if there's no DH in the National League? I mean, should maybe Jacob deGrom be at the top of the list? Anyway, in fact, in the last week, I made a trade for Jacob deGrom that Cedric Mullins was in the deal. I don't think I've told you guys
all,
this.
I think you did.
You did. We definitely talked about Cedric Mullins on the last show, didn't we?
Did we? I don't think I told you.
Did you text that to us?
Yeah, I think I may have texted you. I may have texted you that the deal went through. It's an OBP league, traded Javier Baez, Sean Manaea, Cedric Mullins, and Josh Stomont for Jacob deGrom.
Wait. We did talk about that because maybe we talked about this off air.
We did.
That was it. All right, DVR knows. Yeah, we talked about this off air.
Oh, okay. Sorry, everybody. Well, now it's on air. But since we brought up DeGrom and Mullins. Anyway, so that's just stuff to think about. Omaha Joe, I have an interesting story, but I just talk too much. Someone else talk, because I do have a funny little bit I could check.
That's an 80 grade nickname, though. Even if he's just a man named Joe who lives in Omaha, it's a great nickname.
Yeah, it really is. Omaha, it has to do with Omaha Steaks. We're sending for the, I'm going to tell it real quick. We're selling this TV show. I've told you guys about this. I haven't told anybody on air, but
I don't think you've mentioned that on air either.
No, but okay, it's fine. Right. I've been working with, anyway, we sent agents. Like I worked with Gary Marshall, the old guy who did Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley. Listen, guys, it's Gary Marshall. There you go, a little Gary Marshall for you. And he had worked with this agent before, and one day he had gotten lasagna, and he had dinner with Gary, and he ended up... No, listen, there's a point here.
Of all the Gary Marshall impressions that you've done for us off-air over the years, that's the one that, listen, guys, is Gary Marshall?
Listen, guys, it's so good. Hernando de Fino, I love your name, I love your face. So we sent...
You think he's ever had a conversation with Christopher Walken?
I could do that, but I'm not going to do that.
Right. I know. I'm trying to beat you. But go ahead. Fine.
Do that. I'll do that off air.
Moderated by George Washington?
That's getting a little crazy. I don't even know if I can pull that off. But so we sent the agent.
Interrupted by Marty Decker?
I will send you guys something kind of cool that I had to put together recently. It's an actor reel that I had to put together from Master of None, Turn, and Shameless. I just kind of had to put something together. Anyway, so we're selling the show, and the agent, big, you know, he was like, I went out to dinner with Gary once, and I got this, I walked home with this big tray of lasagna. I don't know how I did. So, you know, it was Christmas, and I said to my partners, I was like, we're going to send them lasagna for Christmas. And they were like, oh, great idea. So we did. And so I was working with our top associate on the show, and she was like, hey, we were trying to do it through Gold Belly, which is this really cool thing that if you can do, it's really cool. And she was like, hey, Omaha Steaks has lasagna. I was like, no, we're not sending Omaha steak lasagna. We could get lasagna from anywhere. We're getting Little Italy or, you know, Italy. We could do it from Italy. We're not doing it from Omaha Steaks. That's it. That's the whole story. But I thought of it because of Omaha Joe.
You know, my parents during the pandemic have gone nuts with Omaha Steaks. And when we were living there for a while. It's, I mean, you know, their food's actually not bad. Their steaks were excellent. This pot roast we had was amazing. And if you order now, no, but I was surprised. I'm like, they gave us, I forget what it was. It wasn't a steak thing. And I'm like, where's this from? Mom's like, it's Omaha Steaks. All right.
There's a plug for you, Omaha Steaks. Okay, moving on to the next one. Hey, boys.
It's legit.
Hey, boys, love the pod. Boys, what do you think of Isaac Paredes for a third base option next season if playing in the majors? He had a good campaign in Detroit last year for a debut season. I guess I should begin with a Canadian accent.
Yeah, it's like the hey guys, but for Canada, I think is, you know.
Okay, Mark.
But I think of Letterkenny every time, the two hockey players, they greet everyone. Hey, boys, like just every single time.
Actually, the next guy is from Canada, so I think you might be confusing that. But keep going.
The next email begins with hey guys instead of hey boys, so that really kind of confuses the whole thing.
Kind of blows your whole theory
Patrick Davitt. He's explained this to Clay Link and I before. Tim Heaney was there too.
Oh, I like Patrick.
We almost got murdered.
I like Patrick Davitt.
Isaac Paredes.
Good lord.
Yeah. So, you know, he's one of these players, he's been young for the level everywhere he's played. That to me is one of the most interesting things about him. A little more power than expected once he got to high A and double A. We haven't really seen it since then. Had to skip triple A to make his debut last year. I think he's going to have some playing time in 2021, maybe half the season. But I think he's the kind of guy, if we have minor leagues available to begin the year, I think Isaac Paredes gets a little time at triple A before he gets that opportunity. I see him as more of like a deep league sort of filler, maybe a guy that moves around defensively a little bit. If you're in a draft and hold league, he fits there. If you're in an AL-only league, he fits there. Keeper and Dynasty, he fits there. Yeah. He puts a lot of balls in play, draws walks. I mean, there's plenty here to like. I think we're just at least a half season away from him getting an opportunity to start putting it all together. I think it's going to be more of a 2022 sort of leap for Isaac Paredes. So nice foundation, pretty good opportunity, but probably more of a year away.
Kind of like where Castro was coming into last year. Would you agree?
I think I had a little more confidence in Castro seeing more playing time just because he'd spent some time at AAA, too, and proved he could handle it. So that's where the slight difference is. Long term, maybe Paredes is the better player of the two, actually.
Oh, I don't know. I mean,
Castro. Look, This isn't at all an anti-Willie Castro thing. Paredes can hit. I think he can hit, and he's got a good idea of the zone too. So that could bring him a long way, especially in a place like Detroit, where they're, you know, really looking for young position players to build around.
Yimer Candelario might get in the way of that, depending on, because guys, I'm a big fan of Yimer Candelario going into the season.
I think we all are, right?
Yeah, I don't know, but I know I am. I think you and I are, Nando. But
yeah, I think so.
Shelly, and I can't, you'll forgive me for not being able to pronounce her last name. Yeah, I just didn't want to do that like you did. So Shelly V.
Well, I mean, I wanted to show respect by knowing that I know her name, not just her Twitter handle.
Gotcha. She's awesome, man. She's so smart and good. And she just did this thing on Dynasty Guru, which is a nice site, Brett Sayre's old site. Top 30... third baseman for Dynasty, and he came in at number 26, I think it was, and she had a really good write-up on him. I mean, he did struggle last year, but there is upside there. So yes, my boy Mark, Paredes is everything that DVR just said. For this year, AL only, draft and hold in the mid-30s round, probably, I would guess. But long-term, yeah, he's got a future, good age.
I don't know, man. I mean, what does he offer, though? If let's just say he gets 500 at-bats, what can you expect from him? Like a 255 average, maybe 10 home runs, 4 steals, And he's in the bottom of the lineup?
That's pretty much what the projections spit out for him over about that amount of playing time. So,
really? I just made that up.
You're right on. Like, all the projections are fairly close. 255.
Take that, the bat.
Yeah, the bat has him at 255 with the bat X, the more advanced one, which incorporates a little more StatCast stuff. The high end, 265 is Steamer. About a dozen home runs across the board. I mean, he could win the job in camp and also just start from the jump. I could be wrong about the playing time. I'm just sort of tempering my short-term expectations given how young he is and given that when he came up last year, like any player debuting at 21, he went from being well above average in the minors to struggling. So I think they could afford him that extra time, and it wouldn't be terrible on their part if they did. That's what I'm saying.
There's upside there. There's upside there. If you can make the major leagues, how old is he? I'm looking here.
He'll turn 22 21? Next month in February.
Yeah.
Should we talk about this Detroit team in a little more in depth and how good they can be?
They're not going to be that good, but they can be good in the next couple of years.
That pitching staff is off the charts. Their outfield 2 years is going to be amazing.
I'm sorry. Their pitching staff is off the charts. How?
I mean, Boyd is still there, and I know he's kind of a whatever. Maybe you love him, maybe you don't. But their prospects, I mean, Tarik Skubal, Matt Manning, Casey Mize, and then, you know, pick who else you want from the rest of, you know, Spencer Turnbull, I guess. Which, by the way, I think Eno wrote this. I think Eno was the Spencer Turnbull guy. If you're not a subscriber to The Athletic, I would strongly suggest you can get it for like a month for $4.99 and then just cancel when the month is over if you don't like anything else. But just to read this Eno Saris article on seam adjusted movement, was that it?
Oh, yeah, seam shifted wake, yeah.
Seam shifted wake, yeah. Like amazing. And he's got these six pitchers, and they're like these six pitchers who I normally I don't like. Like they just kind of fall into this weird zone for me. But he gives like a very, very compelling argument about like the seams and the drag and how the ball moves if you're holding the seams the right way. And these pitchers who were studying it, and who's like, I'm fully bought into this now. I can pull it up, but I'm in the middle of a monologue. But it's an amazing article. It's seriously like worth just like borrow someone's password. I don't care. Because if you listen to the show, you're cool. Find that story that Eno wrote and like just mark down all those pitchers. And I'm pretty sure Spencer Turnbull was one of them. It's just an amazing, amazing article.
I'm big on Boyd's upside for a return. Fulmer can't pitch more than three innings. Jose Urena, whatever. Spencer Turnbull, okay. If they say what I find interesting in looking at Fangraphs depths chart is the starting third baseman they have is Isaac Paredes.
Yeah,
they have him as the starter going in. Knife. Yeah, so you know. You think he's going to be great, but he may very well play. And Candelaria, where did C.J. Cron end up, guys? I don't even know where C.J. Cron is.
No, Kevin Cron.
I think so. Kevin Cron went to. Where is C.J. Cron? Because I thought he had another year, and I'm beginning to think he doesn't.
C.J. Cron's a free agent, by the way.
Yeah. So, but Heimer Candelario, guys, that's the stuff. Okay, moving on. Hey, guys, I'm Ben from Maple Ridge, B.C., British Columbia. Love your show. It's a hidden gem now. I find myself searching for other podcasts with you guys as guests. You should go longer, 2 hours, 3 hours. Anyway, here's my question. I don't know about all that.
We should do a live show next week.
No. 16 team head-to-head points.
This is your idea. You're the one who wants to do this.
No. We'll keep doing what we're doing. We'll find our time. We will. Right. We'll find our time. But this is, we're doing great. Everyone, like, we're doing great just as we are. It's snowing out, by the way. 16 team head-to-head points with 9 starters and a utility and a 5-start cap per week. I like this one, actually. I'm excited to talk about this. 6 keepers with no cost to keep a player. That's the key point, okay? 6 keepers with no cost. I have no first or second round picks, but 11 picks in rounds 3 through 5. So I'm primed to go for it this year. My guaranteed keepers, and this is where we can get into a question, because I don't like the guaranteed about all that, are Trout, good choice. Freeman, good choice. Bauer, bit of a head case, good choice. Scherzer, After pick two out of Vlad Jr., Kenta Maeda, Kyle Tucker, and Wander Franco, I'm trying to fight my instinct, which is to always go with the stud prospect and keep Maeda to shore up a strong rotation with no first or second and Vlad because I can win now, but also wondering if Wander is too good to drop. Pick two out of, this should be a please there, I feel like. Pick two out of Vlad, Maeda, Tucker, Wander. Oh, here's the please. Please help, boys. Cheers. Side note, I emailed the CBS podcast.
Oh, wait, don't read that part. It would cloud our judgment, right? We'll read that after.
I'm very clear on this, so I'll
okay, go ahead, then read it. All right, go ahead.
No, I'll go last. No, it's okay.
I just felt like if we read it, we'd be like, oh, yeah, I would do that. You know, like, I don't know.
No, so don't read it. So, Nando, you go first.
Well, I read it, so now I have. No, I'm. Look, Vlad Guerrero is my most favorite guy in the entire world right now. So I'm all in on keeping him. I think I would actually do what Ian, his tone might have suggested, and not keep Scherzer. And keep Vlad, Franco, and Kenta Maeda.
Okay.
How's that for a little outside the box thinking?
It's not that outside the box, and it's not that bright. DBO.
I would keep Tucker over Maeda. I think the Nando path of not keeping Scherzer, I'm on board with that at this point of his career if you want to do that. You want to make an argument to not keep Bauer? I'll listen to that. I'll hear it. I'm not going to say that's what I'd do, but I'd at least think about it if you made a good argument for it.
Well, who are you picking? Who are you picking since I'm being such a perk?
If this were my team, I'd probably trade Bauer right now. But if I'm not going to trade him, Trout, Freeman, Bauer, Vlad, Tucker, Wander would be my six.
Okay. The answer to this question is Trout, Freeman, Bauer, Tucker, Vlad, Franco. And it's not close. Scherzer is not in the conversation to catch.
You know, I'd like to take my answer back to Kyle Tucker. I forgot.
Yep.
I was thinking the old Houston Astros. This is Dusty Baker, Houston Astros. I don't think he's going to mess with him as much with his playing time.
Okay.
Sorry. Thank you.
Of course. That is the answer. So if you have, hopefully we didn't get this email like a month ago. But Ben, very sweet man, even threw a please in there. Trout, Freeman, Bauer, no Scherzer, yes Vlad, no Maeda, yes Tucker, yes Franco, and you're set. You're set because you're building not just for now. Scherzer is 92nd on my dynasty list. Maeda is like 112. Tucker's 29. Franco's 23. Bauer's 39. Freeman is, I think, like 22. And Trout is like 4. So just going, it's not close, actually. It's just not close. And with picks 3 through 5, you'll be able to get the pitching that you need with all those picks. Definitely keep the young bats. It'll build you for the future. You'll be grateful forever. It's the right way to go.
I don't know, 16 teams. He doesn't have a first or a second.
Yeah, but he's got, he does, because he's got 2 firsts. He's got 3 firsts on this team.
Those are his keepers, you mean?
Right.
You've got to wait 32 and then however many he's going to have in the third round. I know he's got a ton in the middle, which that's like my sweet spot in a normal draft.
It is head to head. Is it head to head? It is head to head.
16 teams head-to-head keeping points. Six. Yeah. That's.
No. Still, I don't care. I don't care. It doesn't matter. Tucker and Franco and Vlad. If Vlad were, you could make an argument for Vlad pre-body shift that you would keep. But even then, you couldn't do it. You'd have to take Vlad over Scherzer. Maeda should not be. Maeda is not in the conversation for me. As good as he was last year, I just don't think so.
You definitely got to keep Wander for no other reason than even if you think he might bust a little bit, his stock has never been higher at the moment.
Well,
it will never be as high again. Isn't that your theory, Ian?
Yeah. I mean, Ralph Lifshitz and Eddie Almaguer did a podcast this past week. I mean, and actually, when I was talking about the FSWAs and being nominated, like guys like that have a podcast and they're great. Like they could be nominated in a heartbeat. They're so good.
Well, maybe they can win the Prospects 360. No, wait. Was that bracket that we got bounced from pretty early?
Yeah, maybe. Very, very likely they're great. But they were talking about the launch angle on Wander Franco, and it's really bad, like worse than baseball bad. So he's making great contact, but he's really not lifting the ball, and his exit velocity is not as high as you would expect. So I wouldn't say he's at the top of his value right now. But he's definitely worth keeping. I mean, he's just, you don't put Wander Franco back to keep Kenta Maeda. You just, you're not playing the game right if you're doing that. Right? DVR, don't you agree?
Yeah, I don't think you're playing the game right if you go down that path. I think I'm here to learn more about prospects and we're getting information like launch angle and exit velocity on players that we didn't used to get. When Jurickson Profar was a prospect, he was the best prospect in baseball. Was that 10 years ago now?
Yeah.
We didn't know.
2012.
We didn't know what his launch angle was. We didn't know what his average exit velocity was. It's good to have that information. I wonder if when we're talking about someone who's 19 years old, if maybe we shouldn't look at that and go, okay, that's it. That's he's overrated, right? I mean, it's a concern. I'm not saying it's not a concern.
Yeah, it's just a concern.
But look at what he does. Instead of focusing on some underlying numbers that don't look good, look at the things he's done so far and contextualize that against other players his age at those levels. I'm still excited. The main thing I'm excited about,
absolutely,
he's 50% better than a league average hitter at every stop as one of the youngest players in professional baseball. That's a really exciting starting point, even if he hasn't added the extra velo, exit velo we want. Even if he hasn't started to launch the ball consistently, I think a big part of why he's ranked where he is the belief that he will add that power and he will add that ability to launch the ball consistently. It's not impossible, but look, this could be the beginning of an era in which we realize, hey, if you're not doing this by age 19, age 20, it is very problematic. And then we'll have, 5 years from now, we'll be able to look back at this and go, oh, okay, there were some warning signs here. And we can apply that better in the future. I just feel like we're still scratching the surface with having this information available with prospects. And that makes me hesitant to begin pulling back on the assessments we've read and heard to this point.
Agreed. And DVR, to be clear, the only thing I was saying was his stock is not at the all-time high. I would say his stock was at his all-time high during the season last year. That was when, because we weren't seeing anything down. It was all up. It was, you know, he was at the alternate training site. There was no news, and he's just this really shiny thing. But you look at like somebody, I keep going back to this, but Joe Adell is getting traded everywhere in every dynasty league, which I think is a little nuts. People are giving up on Adell. I think it has something to do with him trying to catch a fly ball in right field and it going over the fence, because Alex Cushing just traded for him in the Devil's Rejects, and he was like, what do you think? And then I sent him this video of him playing right field, and it's just a fly ball to right. He's sort of on the run, and it goes off his glove and goes over the fence, a la Jose Canseco off his head, but it was off the glove. You know, I think I think that it's interesting to watch prospects dip and grow, for sure. But in this particular case, there's no question you keep Wander Franco. Good?
Good with me.
Yeah, that's not. I think all of us are in agreement on that one.
Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business. Take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic. Victorinox, the makers of the original Swiss Army knife, have been a reliable companion for life's everyday challenges, mastering functionality, innovation, iconic design, and uncompromising quality with its products. The Victorinox Swiss Army knife provides you with all the things you don't think about until you need it: tweezers, a screwdriver, and even a corkscrew. With the Victorinox Swiss Army Knife, you can be prepared to master everyday life. You can find Victorinox Swiss Army Knives at Dick's Sporting Goods.
Sweet. Starting your prep question from Matt. Hey, guys, this one's old.
Well, people are still starting their prep right now, though, right?
Long-time listener and loving your stuff. I really enjoy your strategy discussion in the off-season, so keep them coming. Here's my question, segment, suggestion, if it gets well-liked. What are your building block research and prep work for the upcoming fantasy baseball season, such as, do you build a spreadsheet? Where do you start? What key stats do you include? If you tweak projections to your liking, what aspects do you look into? Are there custom stat leaderboards, i.e. Fangraphs, other site that you look at? Important articles you read each year? I update my spreadsheet each year. I usually import projections from Fangraphs and tweak individual projections through the offseason, but I want to do a better job standardizing my offseason prep work. Thanks, and keep up the great work. P.S. Hey, Ian, Major League is rated way higher than 7.5 out of 10. Triple exclamation mark, smiley face with tears. Matt Olson, first baseman, Oakland A's. It's not really, but his name is Matt Olson.
You don't know that.
Man, I don't think it was. I am not. I'm going on a limb there. DVR, why don't you start first? Because you're really you're the ciabatta, baby.
All right, so I start with a giant spreadsheet. And what I do is I take StatCast data. I take earned auction values from the Fangraphs auction calculator. I took the previous year's stats, and I take the previous 2 years' stats added together. So I put this massive spreadsheet together with all these tables. I break them out into a hitter sheet and a pitcher sheet. They're separate that way. I break them out by position. And what I do is I use conditional formatting. This is something I talked about with our friend, MLB Moving Averages, John Legeza.
That guy's a genius, by the way. He's a legitimate genius.
There's something about numbers that I do better when I see them than when I hear them. Which it's weird since I'm not like teaching people math in a classroom. I'm talking about numbers on a podcast, but I need to see it in front of me. And conditional formatting is the automated shading that you can use to get a sense of what really stands out in a good way or a bad way. You know, what's kind of average within a data set. It's just really easy for me to kind of see the big picture when I've got all that information pulled together in one place. So I've got a mix, like I mentioned before. I've got previous year stats. I've got projections once they come out. I like Derek Cardi's projection system the best. I think Ariel Cohen's ATC is really good. I could start with Steamer since that one usually comes out first and kind of tweak the systems I put in there. But I don't want to run my teams entirely off projections because that's what everybody else for the most part is trying to do. Like if we're all using one of the same 3, 4, 5 sets of projections to build our teams, that's not great. There's an advantage to be had if you can find some spots where the projections might be a little bit off. So I think the interesting thing for me this year is I've been talking a lot more about playing time and lineup position and thinking even more about job battles than I normally do. Those things have always been important, but I'm trying not to lose sight of something that's really important in our game. Players need to play in order to provide value to rack up stats. It seems elementary and captain obvious, but it's true. It holds up. Like it's one of these things that sometimes we just get so wrapped up in new tools and new ways to analyze players that we look right past the fact that Starlin Castro is going to play every single day and hit somewhere in the top six in a good lineup in DC, right? Like there's stuff like that all the time that we miss. So for me, it's similar to the description that Matt had in his email. He updates a spreadsheet each year. That's where I start. You know, I'm digging into Baseball Savant. I'm digging into projections when they come in. I'm looking at depth charts all the time. I look at multiple sets of depth charts too. I know we mentioned Roster Resource. We've mentioned RotoWire. There's other sets out there that are great at depth charts too, right? You can find good depth charts a lot of places. You really need to find what works for you. But that's what works for me, having as much data as possible, kind of color-coded in front of me, because I can go through and start to figure out where is everybody else potentially undervaluing or overvaluing players in the player pool.
Nando.
I'm all over the place with my prep. You know, for a little while, I loved using Todd Zola's tiers. I think those over at Masters Ball. I think maybe they're RotoWire now.
I am a platinum member over at Masters.
Have you used it? Because Zola's tiers, they talk a little about what DVR just said. They're color coded. They're just very thorough. Zola's brilliant. But I have the weird guys I like. So I sometimes I like to use something like that as a base, and I'll move things around. The most success I've ever had is actually printing out Jake's rankings and then just making a spreadsheet out of it and moving people around. As I read things, like, so I've got, and this is crazy, but like, cause I read stuff on my phone and then I'll read stuff on my desktop and I'll go back to my laptop. I'll actually start an email to myself and leave it in my drafts, and I'll just keep putting notes in there and notes and notes and notes and notes up until the start of the season. And so I have one central location, and then I'll just go back and read all the notes and move guys up and down accordingly. You know, there's some questions like, who is this player? Who is that player? Like, names I hadn't heard before. That's how Rylan Bannon kind of got on there. It was just, who is this guy? I'll Google and I'll get obsessed if I see someone, right? You know, if I see Ron Chandler tweet about someone. I think a few years ago, Ron wrote just like a casual throwaway tweet, I think it was, on Mauricio Dubon. And he got him hardcore on my radar. And now I love him and have him almost everywhere. So it's like just a ton of research. I do way more hardcore research. And then I'll take a base of rankings or tiers or something, and I'll move the players around the way I like them. And then I'll just go in with that and still be kind of loose about it. You know, like as I'm trying to fill positions, or as I'm trying to, you know, go an extra $2 or $3 on Eloy Jimenez because Chris Liss across the table loves him as much as I do. So it's still just a little bit loose, but I definitely have a guide, and that's how I build it. Just a lot of research and reading and moving things around accordingly, but keeping track.
Love it. I love it. I'm going to move on. I mean, I could add mine. I think you got some good, but we've got two more and we want to clear the deck here. So I'm going to move on. Hello, DVR, Nando, and Ian. Forgive the specifics and arbitrary tiers, but I think this question will be of general interest to all fantasy players. So that's good. I'm in a 12-team head-to-head category league with keepers, and I'm keeping a solid pitching core. As a player, I'm good at finding pitchers outside of the top 40 ADP that find their way into 15-30 tier. It's really good. But I'm lousy, and that's a good Gary Marshall one. Lousy! It's lousy in here. But I'm lousy at picking guys outside the top 15 ADP that climb their way up to be aces. Knowing this, I'm debating whether to aim for having a super staff or keep that money for offense and adjust my sights to be merely good in pitching. I went for a super staff the last 2 years by paying up for top five ace, but that decision backfired both years. Verlander last year, Sale the year before. What do you all think? Thanks. Love the show. Charles from Chicago. That's good too. I'll go first because I didn't do the last one. You know what I think? If you're really good, that's a really good skill. Finding guys outside the top 40 that end up in the 15 to 30 tier, then my instinct says use that skill and don't pay up for the Biebers, especially Bieber with that team, because I don't think they're going to win that many games. Don't pay up for those big superstar aces and build your team that way and get yourself some bats. DVR, what do you think?
I think it's important to understand your own strengths and weaknesses as a player. And I think as described, I think Charles' flaw might be masked perfectly by this season, because I think there's more recency bias than usual with the shortened season. I think it's because the numbers are more noisy and people are going to make more mistakes on draft day. And usually that range that he described, the 15 to 30 range among pitchers, yeah, you do get some guys that jump up inside the top 15, but there's definite downside in that range too. You know, you can find guys that go in the 15 to 30 range that drop down to like the 50 plus range among pitchers by season's end. So you don't want to miss in there, because we're talking about probably pick 50 to pick 100, give or take a little bit on those margins. The hitters that go in that range are great. So if you're bad at choosing pitchers in that section, I love getting hitters there and just going a little bit later, going down kind of to the pick 150 range and later for pitchers. I think that's where there's a ton of value this year. I think there's a lot of value there most years, but I think there's more than usual. So I think Charles is absolutely on the right track. Like if you're good at finding guys in the 15 to 30 range who become aces, great. Lean into that. If you know you're not good at it, this is the wrong year to try and fight against that.
I'm going to pass on this one because this is not my specialty at all. This is where I have my problems.
Well, we're also running out of time, and I've got a really long one, and two of us answering has got to be good. Okay, here we go. This is a really long
You're welcome, DVR. You're welcome.
So I put this one in the rundown. It's a Dynasty League setup question. And
go ahead, DVR. Take it over.
Well, so here's the thing. So they've made some changes to this league over time. And
let's say who it is, dude. Let's just say it. Eric Freud.
Yeah, email comes from Eric. Our first-year player draft is done mid-season to discourage full-on tanking. The draft order is based on the inverse standings at the end of July's first scoring period. This league has traditionally been pretty close. Some teams sell close to the trade deadline. Since most teams are still vying for playoff spots in July, this gives a more true gauge of whose team has been performing the worst as opposed to who tanked the hardest in the last month to get a top pick. So I think this is a response to Dynasty League setup from a while back. And
right.
I think this is a good anti-tanking measure that he was really just kind of sharing for everybody. There's some other stuff in the email that is also helpful, but I thought this was the thing that kind of stood out to me the most as a way to really avoid those teams that just spend year after year at the bottom. I think those teams make keeper leagues a lot less fun, to be honest. Like there are some people that do that really well. They burn it down for a year or two, and they come back strong, and they're good. There's some people who burn it down, mm-hmm. and they never build it back up because they don't know how. And once that starts to happen, once you get a few teams stuck in that trap, your league becomes lopsided, and that's not at all fun for the league as a whole.
Agreed.
I agree with all of what you said. And Eric Freud, thank you. We have read it, and that's why I said it's a really long email. But thank you for sending it in. And I think it's kind of interesting to do the first year player draft in July. Also, because it's right after the draft too. Though there's upside in seeing the players for 3 months or 2 months that we would normally get. So, you know, there's a lot of different ways to look at it. But that is the end of our email section of this podcast. So I'll wrap it up with just one last thought. How great. Keep sending your emails every once in a while. We're going to have some time. We can talk about all this stuff and answer your questions. The big takeaway, keep Wander Franco.
We agree with CBS.
Yeah, we do in this instance. I was looking for more news. I was hoping we'd get some other information this morning.
Well, Trevor Bauer for the Mets, but also here I've got a little bit of did you know that Frank Stample joined Scotty White's dynasty?
Oh, yeah. He's part.
Did you know that he drafted in the dispersal draft, he got Jose De Leon?
I didn't know that, did he?
Yes, sir.
I did not see. How did you know that?
I was talking with Frankie.
Oh, so you're screwing your podcast partner.
No, literally, my suggestion to him was, if you get Jose De Leon, you can trade him to Nando. And based on how Jose De Leon is doing in Mexico, as soon as your rookie draft is over, I would recommend making him a very nice offer.
I mean, I was going to overpay for him no matter what, probably.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
You know, so, I haven't opened my Scott. You know, I know we got to go, but screw it. Like, people want longer shows? Here, you're going to wait while I look up the Scott White Dynasty League. And
okay,
I'll tell you who my
2014
I'll tell you who my prospects are, because De Leon's still a prospect, I think, right?
Let's see if I can help.
No. Well, I mean, in the Scott White Dynasty League, you have a prospect forever,
right?
You
don't. No, yeah. He's a played player. He's got a salary. Oh, I know that for a fact. He's like a $5 player. No, but why? So what? You might actually end up being right. Do you see what he's doing in Mexico? Do you know what he's doing?
I know
in
I'm going to be right. I'm positive about this. Yeah.
All right. Well, you get full credit. If Jose De Leon turns into, remotely good, you get full credit because
he was a top
everyone
prospect
else has
for a long time.
He was. You said last week that he was a top 10 prospect. He was never a top 10 prospect.
Maybe I meant organizational. Never. I don't think I said top
organizational.
10. I don't think I said top 10.
Or top 20 or something. But he's
top 25. I think is true.
Maybe. I mean, he could move into the closer role. Could be the fifth starter. A lot of different options there. But go ahead. I'm curious because I'd love to help make a trade here. I have, by the way, there are two huge trades in one of my dynasty leagues that almost went through last night, and they were kind of working in conjunction with each other. And if they come through, they are well worth discussing next week.
Is Thomas Hatch involved?
Worth discussing.
That's quite the teaser.
I'm telling you, it's not a small deal. This is a big deal. They're two big deals with major pieces going back and forth. Big. Super fun.
Maki's opening this weekend.
Super fun. Is it really?
Finally.
Is Maki opening this weekend?
Finally. The end of my year was
Maki
not
is
great. Podcast nominations notwithstanding. It was a bad couple of weeks at the end of December. I was going to do it over the holidays, and some other stuff happened, so that didn't work out. But I was just thinking, Thomas Hatch, who I stashed away late last year in Maki, just saw a nugget go by on RotoWire. He's viewed as a starter heading into the upcoming season for the Jays. So I'm going to add Thomas Hatch to my list of rookie cards to think I'm going to buy but not actually buy, along with Joe Ryan. And then I'll put a third one out there for you. I was talking about Miguel Yajure a little bit, the former Yankees prospect traded to Pittsburgh as part of the Jameson Taillon deal.
Yeah, yeah.
So
that was the arm I was talking about. I just didn't have the name off the top.
So Hatch, Yajure, and Ryan, three deep sleepers, three under-the-radar pitchers that I like, who all might find a decent number of innings and might even be decent baseball card investments.
Oh, look at DVR, man. You're sucked in completely now.
I've bought zero cards so far, but yeah, I've looked a lot.
I know. You've already crossed that threshold. You're talking about it.
I've spent an extraordinary amount of time looking at cards for someone who has not bought any. Like, that's pretty weird. Like, the ratio is pretty bad. So I do need to buy something just to justify the time spent on eBay.
If Ian hasn't turned him against all of us, you should really email Michael Salfino before you buy anything, because he's really smart with this.
I don't think I'll turn against him.
If he doesn't hate all of us on the show now.
I'm sure you're fine. I'm actually sure.
Electronic Bay.
I don't think it's going to be a problem. I think he just really wants to make sure that we watch Midnight Run. And I said to him after the Super Bowl, you know, it's everyone understands. It's after the Super Bowl. We're going to watch Midnight Run. We're going to watch. Good movie.
Can't wait.
Better than Major League. Not even close. Sorry, whoever that was who brought that out. But, you know, we want to do a longer show, but not unless we're doing something. So would you please, for the love of God, would you give us a little bit? I tell you, this whole thing about Nando and his prospects, it's like, bring a name, fella. Let's make a trade. What's going on?
Ian's short-circuiting.
I was just giving you your Gary Marshall / Christopher Walken conversation, which is being moderated by Donald George Washington. There you go. Come on. Who's on your prospect list? And then we got to go. I actually have a thing.
Oh,
it's not a hard out, but it's an out.
So I got Roberto Hernandez, Bo Naylor, Kevin Maiton, Josh Smith, Clint Frazier, Adolis Garcia, Joshua Mears, Michael Bauman, Thad Ward, and Brandon Williamson.
Okay.
It's not the greatest collection of prospects by any means.
It's not, but I mean, you do have Clint Frazier there, and you can get something for
he's
Clint
not
Frazier,
going anywhere.
Though.
Jose De Leon.
Yeah.
Oh. But see, this is, you know what the problem is? This is a CBS league, and De Leon's going to come up with a relief pitcher eligibility, and you can slide him into a relief pitcher in that slot with a starter role is huge for CBS. And so that jacks
huge.
Up his, yeah.
And also, Frankie Stanfill's the man. I mean, think about
Frank's
that.
The
dude's, he told me a story this weekend that he used to send you videos when he was in college.
Yeah, Frank and Mike Florio, who's now outlapping all of us with his Twitter followers at NFL.com. Would do little videos in their basement, and they sent them to us, like, I don't know, just like randomly. And I watched them, and I gave them some tips, and lo and behold.
And you hired them.
Then we worked together for a while. I didn't. Scott Engel actually hired them.
There you go.
But then when I got there, you know, we elevated them and worked with them a lot and invented Is Mike Florio Lying? and I still talk
I did
to
that.
Him.
I went to that place quite a bit. I was there quite a bit. I did a number of shows there with you, and then I did a bunch with Greg and Michael and with Frankie.
Yeah.
I spent a lot of time in that room in that restaurant.
But we knew it was you and I. That was we could tell.
Yeah, man. I told you from the jump. I said Nando and the General. Let's do
it. And I even said like we should involve DVR. He'd be good on this.
Yeah. No, you didn't. And how lucky we were, because without DVR, there would be no spreadsheets. And on that note,
we gotta go.
Yeah.
Thank you all for listening. We hope you enjoyed this. All right. Have a good week, everybody. We'll see you next time.
We'll see you next week. Good talk. Bye.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic.
See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.